KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have here at the KJAN studios partly cloudy skies and temperature just at 5 degrees above here this hour. We look for some areas of patchy fog early, then partly cloudy. Variable winds at 5 to 10 and a high of 30 degrees today. Tonight, fair to partly cloudy, light and variable winds and a low of around 10. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in-state and local news on KJAN. A federal judge has rejected Tyson Foods' efforts to have a lawsuit over the death of an employee in Iowa moved to federal court. The family of Isidro Fernandez sued Tyson over his death on April 26 from complications from COVID-19 after working at the company's plant in Waterloo. The lawsuit was filed in state court, but Tyson had sought to have it moved to federal court. The company argued it was not liable because it was following federal guidance to stay open during the pandemic. A federal judge rejected the argument this week, sending that case back to state court. The Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of a Red Oak man for a driving violation on New Year's Day. At 9:10 a.m., officers witnessed 24-year-old Zachary Aaron Thomas of Red Oak operating a 2008 Chevy Impala and pulled into his residential driveway. Thomas was known to have a barred Iowa driver's license and was operating on a public highway. He was arrested for driving while barred, habitual offender, and held at the Montgomery County Jail on $2,000 cash bond. A Des Moines attorney is suing several police officers and the city over their response to racial justice protests in May. The class action lawsuit seeks to represent anyone arrested or assaulted by Des Moines officers during a protest May 31st. Attorney Gina Messimer alleges in the lawsuit that officers illegally arrested and pepper sprayed people protesting the death of George Floyd. The lawsuit alleges the officers' actions violated protesters' free speech rights and were meant to deter future demonstrations. Des Moines officials did not respond to requests for comment on the lawsuit. A Red Oak woman arrested Thursday night for interference with official acts was subsequently charged with felony offenses for possession of contraband and possession of a weapon in a correctional facility. 41-year-old Brianna Nadine Gasper was taken into custody at around 9:42 p.m. The felony charges followed a search of her possessions and a person at the Montgomery County Jail. Her bond was then set at $10,000. Students in K-12 classes and at the college level have had to deal with a lot of changes in their routine this past year following the COVID-19 outbreak. Iowa State University President Wendy Winterstein says they adjusted on the fly.
Well, we certainly had some ups and downs during the semester. We finished the semester, and we had an emphasis on having our laboratories, our studios in person, our large classes and lecture halls, of course, were virtual. But we still had a significant amount of in-person interaction.
She says the actions that they took appeared to have stopped the spread of the virus.
There is no evidence that we saw any transmission of the COVID virus in the classroom where we had some physical distance and individuals were wearing their face coverings. So I can't say how proud I am of how hard everyone worked to have a successful semester.
Winterstein says it was evident that the students would rather be together on campus in Ames instead of taking classes online.
They love the interaction that they can have in the normal times, that they need that social interaction to really grow, to be able to learn how to collaborate, to be able to lead a club, that social interaction is something that they crave, and I think it's something we all crave.
She says they will take what they learned and use it in the spring semester.
This coming semester, we now know that there are ways that we can provide structured and monitored activities for our students to be able to come together and have some of that social interaction in a relatively safe environment.
ISU's spring session begins on January 25th. As a crossroads for three major interstates, authorities say Iowa is a critical trouble spot for human trafficking, and problems are worsening in the pandemic. Megan Cutter, director of the National Human Trafficking Hotline, says the first month of COVID-related shutdowns brought a 40% increase in crisis calls, while requests for shelter nearly doubled. Cutter says recent federal funding sent to local communities to help victims find housing is vitally needed.
What we really do is reflect what's happening on the ground, what resources exist for trafficking victims and survivors. And so the more resources there are, the more options there are, the more choices people have when they reach out to us and they're looking for help.
Cutter says any legislation, federal or state, that can help provide stable housing to those in need will go a long way toward helping curb human trafficking. It's estimated that 40 million people are trafficked every year in an industry worth $150 billion a year. Cutter says traffickers often prey on people who don't have a secure place to live.
Any sort of policy that allows for folks to have housing assistance and access safe and affordable housing is something that we think would have a positive impact on the most vulnerable.
The 2019 investigative documentary Grid Shock explored the human trafficking industry in Iowa and claimed people are being bought and sold for sex every day in communities across the state. The National Human Trafficking Hotline is 888-373-7888. You can also find out more information online at polarisproject.org. The recently released Iowa State University Land Value Survey found a modest 1.7% statewide increase in the value of farmland. Survey leader Windong Zhang says one of the factors in the increase is the lack of available land.
When someone owns the land, on average, people, half the land are owned by the same owner for over 20 years. So it's stay in the family for a fairly long time.
He says land that is sold often is bought by someone who lives nearby.
Even when it comes to transfer, this tends to be sold to local existing farmers. If it ever goes to the market, another channel would be will or gift or sale within the family.
The average price of an acre of ground in the survey this year was $7,559. An accident in Creston Thursday afternoon resulted in one person hurt and an estimated total of $30,000 worth of damage to the vehicles involved. Creston police report a 2011 Chevy Traverse driven by 36-year-old Troy R. Howard of Creston was traveling west on Highway 34 at around 2:30 p.m. when a 2015 Volkswagen Jetta driven by 56-year-old Jans Visker Jr. of Creston pulled out in front of the Chevy in an attempt to turn left from Elm Street onto Highway 34. The Chevy struck the Volkswagen on the driver's side. Visker complained of pain and was suspected of having minor non-incapacitating injuries. He was transported by EMS to the Greater Regional Medical Center in Creston, and both drivers were wearing their seatbelts. No citations were issued in that crash. And women will be the majority of Iowa's congressional delegation in this new year. Mary Ellen Miller is the former executive director of 50-50 in 2020, a group formed in 2010 to encourage women to run for office.
The reason we set up the program to recruit and train women was Iowa was in a unique situation of being only one of two states that had never sent a woman to Congress or elected a woman governor. And in 10 years, that has all been turned around. I'm just, of course, very proud of our work, but also amazed at how quickly it all changed.
Members of the U.S. House and Senate will be sworn into office on Sunday the 3rd. Congresswoman Cindy Axne of West Des Moines will be the dean of the Iowa delegation in the U.S. House, where she'll be joined by two other women and a man. Joni Ernst will be sworn in for a second term in the U.S. Senate, too. So women will hold four of the six seats in Iowa's D.C. delegation. 50-50 in 2020 aimed to have Iowa women serving in at least half of the elected roles and disbanded last January. Miller says there are now several organizations doing the same work of encouraging and coaching women to run for office.
Very proud of our work, very excited, but also kind of blown away by the speed at which the whole landscape reversed itself.
And she says the landscape has shifted partly due to generational change.
If you look at the age of women running, they're much younger. They grew up in a time of post-women's liberation, post-birth control. They're of an age that really are not intimidated by the customs, so to speak, of our public servant environment. It was always a good old boys club, and they just don't have any patience with that.
Another contributing factor is the increasing numbers of women that are running for office. Miller predicts the next shift in Iowa and elsewhere will be toward electing more people of color and new American citizens who become active in the political process. That's a look at news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Milton Earl Mueller, age 90, of Council Bluffs, formerly of Walnut, died December 24th at the Primrose Retirement Community in Council Bluffs. Graveside services with military honors for Milton Mueller will be held on Saturday here today at 11 a.m. at the Layton Township Cemetery in Walnut, and Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. John Wendt, age 88, of Portsmouth, died Wednesday at his home. A private family mass of Christian burial for John Wendt will be held on here today at 11 a.m. at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Dick Gibson, age 88, of Linden, died Sunday at home. Services for Dick Gibson will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at Tweak Funeral Home in Panora. Louis M. Troll, age 90, of Walnut, died Thursday in Atlantic. Funeral services for Louis Troll will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home has arrangements. Wilson McCurdy, age 96, of Panora, died Monday at the New Homestead and Guthrie Center. Services for Wilson McCurdy will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Panora. Tweak Funeral Home Panora has the arrangements. Peggy Jorgensen, age 61, of Fontenelle, died on Wednesday at the University of Iowa Hospital, Iowa City. Funeral services for Peggy Jorgensen will be held Tuesday at 2 p.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home Fontenelle has arrangements. Kenneth Ken Crane, age 77, of Atlantic, died Thursday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. A private family memorial service for Kenneth Ken Crane will be held at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic has arrangements. Rex Noland, age 78, of Adair, died Monday at Mercy One Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Rex Noland will be held Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Adair has the arrangements. Marilyn Farrow, age 91, of Greenfield, died on Thursday at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center, and funeral services for Marilyn Farrow will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield, with burial in the Greenfield Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. Leanne Hannah Davis, age 85, of Harlan, died on Tuesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. Graveside services for Leanne Davis will be held on Wednesday at 1 p.m. at a Memorial Park Cemetery in Council Bluffs. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Paul Toodles Linen, senior, age 94, of Harlan, died on December 25th at Bertu Medical Center in Harlan. A mass of Christian burial for Paul Linen, senior, will be held on Thursday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Arthur Leonard Alm, senior, age 91, of Griswold, died on Monday at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. A memorial service for Arthur Leonard Alm, Sr. will be held at a later date. Reekin Dune Funeral Home Griswold is assisting family with arrangements. Marion G. Sent, age 78, of Oakland, died on December 23rd in Gilbert, Arizona. A memorial service for Marion Sent will be held at a later date. Reekin Veith Funeral Home in Oakland is assisting the family with arrangements. And Jean Held, age 89, of Fontenelle, died Wednesday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Jean Held are pending at Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.